There is no phone ringing, dammit!
What the hell are you talking about? Do you know what the hell she's talking about?
Now what in hell am I going to tell this boy Shaver's parents? That a substitute nurse assassinated him because she couldn't tell the doctors from the patients on the floor? My God!
Okay, you let a woman beat ya! You little tiny nothing!
Why did you move closer to me?
Don't, Bob.
His name was Jeremiah Johnson.
Norma Ray has been working since she was 16.
Jeff Goldblum is the psycho freak who's everywhere the action is.
That's outrageous!
You try one more goddamn stunt and I'll light up the fucking sky!
I'd rather die running than be left here alone.
Okay, but remember, serpentine!
Absolutely.
What a guy.
Who can fuck the lilies and the roses too?
A decade under the influence. No rules, no limits. No wonder these filmmakers changed our world.
Hello and welcome to another episode of A Decade Under the Influence. This is the wrap-up for...
Brought to you by Little Debbie Cosmic Brownies!
Yes! Our sponsor this week is Little Debbie Cosmic Brownies.
Snack cakes. This is for ruling class. You know, we recently watched Clerks 3. You have any memories of Clerks 3? Do you remember Clerks 3?
I have lots of memories.
But it's just the funniest thing about that. Well, it's not funny, but it's just that, like, A, it goes really dark, but it's just tied to snack cakes because they worked at a convenience store and then ended up owning a convenience store. And I guess I can't spoil it, but their health is not good.
No.
And it's stated as very, very not good for living off of fucking, like, convenience store food. And
that,
like,
that actually makes a ton of sense to me, because when I worked in a convenience store...
Yeah, your health probably
wasn't
great.
I was fucking, like, super poor, and Plaid Pantry lets you do this thing where you can, like, buy stuff off of your paycheck while you work. And so, like...
And they have mac and cheese and stuff, too.
Yeah, they have mac and cheese, like, instant mac and cheese and fucking Hot Pockets and shit like that. And so, like, you're starving and you're like, I don't want to pay $7 or, you know, whatever for
those gigantic burritos that are too cheap.
Hunk of burrito, these Reese's burritos.
I liked that SNL skit about
the Arby's.
Because they're like, it needs to be more money. What is in it? And they're, like, trying to do the math. And those burritos were, like, bigger than the size of my head.
Oh, for, like,
and
a nickel.
And they were, like, a nickel.
And then
it was mostly just beans or something, right? It said, like, honking beef, though.
Yeah. I don't think I ever ate one.
But you were just saying you lived off of it.
I stayed away from those.
You're still smart enough to stay away from those. That's
burritos
good.
Burritos or whatever.
Well, there's a couple things that you just don't go, like, after when you work at the plant.
Yeah, like,
right?
Nope.
You've seen behind the curtain. No, thank you.
Those are only for meth addicts.
Well, no. The Reese's burritos are for a particular type of drunk.
Hmm.
That's the, like, I've drunk too much. I came in here for more beer. But it's like...
You're not selling beer
anymore. But it's $2.45, so there's no beer to be had. And I've asked you six times if I can buy beer. You told me no, and I'm looking at you with a coy look that says, I don't really believe you, but I guess you got all the cards. And then you find your way over to the honking burritos, and you're
microwave,
like,
provided.
Oh, idea. Yeah. Also,
did you have to clean out the microwave?
Yes. And
obviously.
That's where that was going.
Okay.
It always says, like, cook for 2 minutes, flip, cook for 1 minute. And those people cook it for, like, 12 minutes, which makes it into a pile of lava that is pouring out of the thing. And they're just like, ooh, and they still eat it, but it's everywhere. It is the worst. Fucking hated it.
I'm sorry to bring up those memories. Thus concludes our wrap-up of the 1972 classic Peter Medic film, Ruling Class. We'll see y'all next time.
That's right. Thank you, everybody. You can find us on the Instagram.
Snack cakes.
Fucking hell. Yeah.
Remember when we went into Walgreens and the woman looked at us like we were on Mars because we mentioned snack cakes?
Snack cakes.
I do not know. At least Clerks movies validate that the existence of snack cakes.
So fucking weird. Well, I think she was just too young and maybe had never heard that term. You know, I don't know if there's, like, a young person term for snack cakes, but it's probably a brand name at this point.
Yeah.
You know? I need a Twinkie.
Like those weirdos who call coffee Starbucks.
Yes. Oh, yes, no. Exactly.
Victor, what'd you think of this movie?
I liked it. I didn't catch everything that happened in the movie.
Why not?
Because you two buttholes wouldn't shut up.
I am one of the buttholes.
But I definitely enjoyed this movie. And I certainly enjoyed the messaging. And I
enjoyed it too. I enjoyed your comments on the movie.
How, like, odd and evil the upper classes are, and like how much their identity is shaped around this like false sense of like we're wealthy because we deserve to be, we're inherently superior and better and,
privilege,
and in every way they're not.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But they do have access to limitless resources, so they're just like, it's a beautiful, fantastic parade of me forever.
Right. I wish I had written it down. At one point, he actually just spells it out in one line where he's like, you know, if I were to be a tradesman acting this way, I would be put away forever. But, you know, as a wealthy person, it's just... You know, a spot of eccentricity. Yeah. Artistic.
Entitled. And normal. They even say, you're normal.
Right.
He figures out a way to be completely batshit that is 100% in line with, like, the
right
very bizarre norms of
He just has to retool his crazy into how everyone else expects them.
Peter O'Toole has to retool.
Hey!
Hey! I listened in the commentary when they explained, you know, why and what they were trying to say with its connection of when he gets quote-unquote well or cured, that he turns into Jack the Ripper. And I didn't get it very well, so I was grateful that you helped explain that to us. So please listen to that part of the podcast. We give so much in that, and some people are just like, I just listened to the wrap-up. Where you're tired and sleepy and talk about snack cakes for 20 minutes. I'm just saying there's good stuff in there. I took notes for a long time.
Yeah.
Which we can also kind of go into a little bit.
No! Like sure, that. I would like a little bit more of it to help solidify why they chose Jack the Ripper.
But so it was
Jack
fun.
The Ripper.
Before you get there, can we just take a quick second? Because like...
No.
The thing that, like, they could not stand that was, like, beyond the pale was him being, like, an agent of love, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They couldn't,
that was crazy.
You can be, like, as evil and bad as you want to, but, like, if you are just, like, people are blessed, they're beautiful, I love them, I want to take care of them, you're all my children, I'm in this position of power that I can identify, and I'm willing to do it like this. Everyone's like, you are broken.
Yeah, just talking to flowers.
Real broken. And like, obviously, like, and they also call this out pretty clearly, right? Where he's like, I see myself as aristocracy, and the only thing that's above that is God.
Right.
And so, of course, the next place to identify yourself with is God. But then... Yeah, he's cured and he goes through that, and I'll shut up. I just wanted to call that as its counterbalance.
Right, and then the other way that you can be like superior to your peers is to be like the ultimate psychopath, where you're just like 100%. Yeah, and Jack the Ripper very much personifies that. He's this, you know, mysterious, amazingly charming playboy who, you know, gets away with murdering all of these working class girls in the East End, and like you know, upper class men are obsessed. And sexist men in general are also super obsessed with the idea of Jack the Ripper and like his power, and you know, it's very similar to like how Americans see Ted Bundy. Ugh. As being this like charming, you know, whatever, and like So like the and also there's just like a very gross class divide over in the UK, in London in particular, where it's like they really feed into the like Jack the Ripper tourism, and there's still this like objectification of the women and the families of, you know, like the women who are murdered and their families, and like all the human suffering, and it's all just about this obsession with Jack the Ripper himself, and you know how exciting it was that, you know, he just got away with it and was so brutal and in many ways like just personifies class privilege in its like most evil form. So it's like, I think that's what they were going for.
It's interesting in the which you've already said you disagreed with, and it's like when I'm doing research, I'm listening to commentary, so I kind of have to be in that room, but I wanted to take a bath. So that's when I found that YouTube video where they discussed the film for 30 minutes. And what was the thing? Oh, they were just, they didn't understand why the working class guy would quit. And now I can't remember my other points. I'll have to come back to it.
Tucker.
But it was something in there that I also took issue with, which is lost on me now. So if you have anything, please insert it now.
No, I loved his character. And like when you kept being like, you brought that up, and I loved that point, because like people are like, why would he stay? And I was like, why wouldn't you? Like, you get to have the job that you had before. It pays pretty good. And at this point, you can steal as much as you want. Like, and like, what are you going to steal? You're going to steal, like, whiskey and fucking food and stuff like that, because you have money already, because it's been, you know, the guy left it to you in his will. But it's just funny to me that they're like, oh, leave, like, blah, blah, blah. It's like, write it out.
Yeah, and there's stuff there that I want to circle back to, but I remember they were just saying that, like, the second half goes real dark, which is true, but I think the whole movie is a dark comedy.
Oh, yeah,
it wasn't
absolutely.
Like, to say that, like, maybe you didn't see it coming is a little weird, you know?
Like, well, what's funny is, like, they start with, you know, I'm pointing to this guy here, because
it's on our screen. You can't see it, but let us describe it to you. He's on our screen.
Yeah, he's on our screen.
In his tutu.
But it's the original Lord of Gurney, right?
Yeah.
And he's no different, really, than Jack at the end. You know, he's attacking the lower classes and the vile street vermin and blah, 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 Christian soldiers, humph, you know, doing the whole thing.
I mean, he kills himself
thing.
Instead of killing others, but maybe only because he slipped.
Well, but, I mean... That's only accurate in that he doesn't take a knife that we see and kill someone else. Like, all the policies in House of Lords that he is, like, going for are, like, very, like, totalitarian. Like, we need to bring back the whips. We need to bring back capital punishment. And then he goes home and he has these, like, very eccentric, like, tastes, right? He wants to feel the noose. He wants to feel, like, the pomp of being important.
But the tutu's in there too. He can't, you know, he's
right,
not comfortable with his desires. It was like that scene in Pose where, you know, the person gets murdered and they're talking about, like, because they can't, you know, they're not at peace with their desires.
Right.
So, you know,
right. And I think he's a perfect example of that. It's actually like the outfit is a perfect layout of that, you know, the proper, like, Napoleon coat on top and the tutu on the bottom, where it's, you know, I'm this commander, but also I want to be, like, vulnerable and feminine and you know,
yeah,
have these whole other sets of feelings about myself that I don't know how to tap into. And so I have this whole experience that I set out for myself. That's, you know, silk.
There were
rope
even
tonight.
Different types of nooses.
Yes,
I'm sorry.
No,
the silk one today?
That's exactly where I was going, right?
Okay.
Like, he has, like, different sort of tools for different experiences. Probably different outfits, I would wager as well.
Yeah. I mean, it is heavy, it is long, but I mean, I definitely, this has been on the list forever.
Yeah,
that it's something that fits in with what we do, and it's something that seems perfect for us to showcase and is a perfect, I think, 70s type of movie.
Absolutely.
It fits all the criteria. It's political. It's based on a play.
It's really wordy.
It has some like weird shots. You know, it's breaking the fourth wall. It breaks into choreographed song. You know, it's trippy. Remember The Boyfriend?
I remember. I love The Boyfriend. I love
The Boyfriend, yeah.
Yeah.
Boyfriend was lighter in tone, although there was darkness in The Boyfriend.
There is darkness in The Boyfriend.
There is darkness in The Boyfriend.
But I mean, it's a lot more fun than this movie, for sure.
Yeah. And also in the pre-production, I really liked hearing all their talk about this was a group of friends, and the two of the main people went and rented, or wasn't a cottage. They didn't rent a cottage. I thought they did, but it turns out it was one of Peter O'Toole's houses in Ireland, and they just, you know, took 2 weeks off and sat and talked about the movie all day, and then went to the pubs at night and went and sang. And it's like that kind of stuff feels very the good parts of the 70s to me, where you're dealing with stuff and you're talking about it.
Yeah, I didn't get musical when you said that at first.
Yeah,
but I really like the musical bits in this. Like they're a fun break in the toughness of the story. You know, it's like all of a sudden you're in sort of a drab part, and all this, they break out into something fun and exciting and different that they're actually connecting with and showing you that through song, which is fun. Like, yeah. I think one of the better examples is when the Lord of Lunatics, or whatever they fucking call
Lord of Lunacy.
The Master of Lunacy.
Master of Lunacy, yes, Lord of Lunacy.
But when he shows up and he's like very like, oh, you have a stutter, I'm looking for all of your faults. Mm. And then he finds out he goes to the same school and they start singing school Eton. Songs together.
Yeah.
Which is notoriously just like, it's like the,
Isn't that the school from College Challenge and the Young Ones?
It's not, but it's
University
like,
Challenge.
It's like similar idea, but like younger, not college version of that.
Oh, okay.
For young people, by young people.
Who's the richest man?
It was like the Lightfoots.
Oh yeah, Lightfoots. That's right. Yeah.
Now I have Gordon Lightfoot in my head. As soon as you said Lightfoot, if you could read my mind, love, what a thought my heart would tell. Anything else on this that you got?
No, I mean, I think it does a really good job of telling its own story. There's not a lot that you need to like dive into.
Yeah,
to figure
we talked to during the podcast, but I get that the actors, that the accents and even mannerisms were part of presenting that. And it's like, coming from where I come from, I didn't get that as much.
Well, so, it's funny, when he kills...
The commentary helped a lot.
Claire, one of the things that they do to really like bonk it on your head, like what's happening is like, she gives a little cockney to him.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go to any of those, like, even if you're out front of one of those stupid, like... Jack the Ripper things that they have there.
Did you see one too?
Oh yeah.
Oh, I mean, I've never seen any of
it's
that.
It's like if you walk on the waterfront of the Thames or whatever you fucking
Thames,
they'll have like Jack the Ripper experiences and shit like that that's out there, and there'll always be some animatronic wench being like, you know, doing a Cockney accent and giving some scene that's really fucking weird, but you know it's,
oh dear,
yeah, it's like the London Dungeon,
yeah,
which
hey,
they,
that's a Misfits song.
They synthetically, it's not animatronic, it's but they fucking so I went through it just because like I have a thing for wax museums,
yeah,
and I thought that was gonna be more of a wax museum, and it's not, but anyways, they
your street cred is gone. How dare
synthetically make it smell like urine.
What?
The whole way through there's like fake pee smell, like human pee
what?
Smell to like give you like the, you know, seedy side of towns.
You didn't go?
No, I didn't. No, Victory went and warded me off. Like, the whole time I
was walking through there, I was just cracking up to myself.
I'm wondering if this house is still there. I don't see why it wouldn't be. But
of course that house is still there.
I would like to visit the house.
We probably aren't allowed anywhere near that house.
What house?
The house in the
Harlingston
movie?
House.
Oh.
Where The Ruling Class was filmed. A lot of it takes place in the house.
You know, a lot of those have either been converted into, like separated into condos.
Hmm.
Or, oh, yeah.
Feels like it's in the middle of nowhere.
Given if, to the Shire.
Or they've been, like, donated to, like, a public trust. That so it's like a public park and museum kind of a thing.
Well, when we're there on our tour of locations.
Yeah.
I'd like to see if we could go by it at least.
Well, we should probably do the closer ones first. Although I'm very into going to the UK again. I'm looking forward to it, in fact. And if we have to go to Harlington House.
Where was it again? Twickenham?
I don't know.
Well, that's where
I
the studio
it was written
was.
In here. Yeah,
oh, yeah,
no.
That's the studio. That doesn't
so probably
mean
all of the inside shots.
Yeah,
I guess I didn't write it.
I mean, it could be. It could easily be in London. There is a bunch of places like that, just
Poncy
on the outskirts.
Mansions.
Yeah.
Proper mansions, man. Just like you could get fucking
palaces
lost.
And
yeah.
castles and shit.
Whatever, you weird fucking empire assholes.
Lincolnshire, England. Where's that?
Oh, I have no idea.
oh, fuck.
I would have to look that up.
I'm trying to think of the football club from Lincoln. Lincolnshire. I'm not going to get it. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Although...
We'll watch a YouTube and we'll get back to you.
No, we won't.
Wait, is that one of the shires that's linked together around that, like... monolith that
why are you against us watching a video about where Lincolnshire is
writes about and
what
answer both
never
of us
never mind it's a token nerd landmark
first
thing.
Of all yes it is exactly the county that surrounds the Tolkien monolith
yeah, to me
no.
And no
and I have no issue
there's
with
like a
getting
place
back
in,
to watching
in
a
Hobbit land
YouTube video.
Where all the shires converge and there's like a monument to it and then in real life there's also a spot where several shires converge in England that are...
I need to get my map out of Middle Earth now and look at that because I thought that they all converged at the Minas Tirith.
Minas Tirith.
All
right, we're getting
all the Hobbit shires.
Not all the Hobbit shires, like all the land.
I'm just talking about the Hobbit shires.
Oh well, that would be where the prancing pony is then.
When they meet Strider.
That's right. Once again, thank you for listening to our the ruling class. Hey, you know, you get the whole bits of it, you know?
Yeah, Lincolnshire.
We're nerds about other things, too.
Buckinghamshire.
Oh, it is in London, then.
Buckinghamshire. Well, the different estate, the Clevedon estate. Oh, the interior of Gurney Manor was, yeah, in Buckinghamshire. Hampshire, England. Surrey, England.
Surrey. So, I dated a girl in B.C., for a while, and she was from Vancouver, and there is a suburb above Vancouver called Surrey, and the only thing I know about it is that the people, the poncy fucking middle class folks from Vancouver call, whoa,
what's
going on?
Is it peeking?
Something weird happened there for a second. Called the slutty girls from Surrey.
It's because
Surrey
they wear
crotch.
It's because they wear tight jeans.
What they call them? What crotch?
Surrey crotch.
Oh, Surrey crotch. It's like camel toe. But it was because
that's weird.
Like
never heard
that. It was like in the mid-90s when like tight pants, like skinny jeans weren't popular, and they would make fun of them. It was only white trash girls wore skinny jeans.
I'm going
and so,
to
like,
Surrey.
they were like, anytime somebody had tight pants on that showed their puss, like,
you get showing Surrey, their puss,
Surrey crotch.
Right. We get some regional flair here on the Decade of the Under the Influence podcast. You know,
I can also confirm, because I visited my sister on a film set in BC, and yeah, we actually went out to Surrey to go horseback riding, and the whole way we were making jokes about Surrey crotch.
That's your sister's movie about bike safety, isn't it?
Nope.
I want to see that right now.
No.
That should be on YouTube.
It was a...
Oh, it was a drunken...
alcoholism. Drunk driving.
Yeah.
Mm. We call ranch dressing Gresham gravy.
That's right.
I gave this movie an 8. What's your rating on this?
I think I'm probably closer to a 7.5.
You bastard.
Yeah.
What do you think the IMDb rating is?
Probably like a 9.
Mm-mm. Way lower.
6.4?
Higher. You give this thumbs up? I'm pretty sure you do.
Yes.
Oh, it gets a 7.3.
Oh. Well, I'm apparently among the people.
I believe it deserves an 8.
Yeah, you deserve an 8.
Thank you.
Hey.
Bye.
All right.
Anything else?
Let's just do a quick wrap-up.
You did it
stuff.
Already.
I did it in the other podcast. I'll do it fast. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook if you look up A Decade Under the Influence. You can also find us on Amazon. You can find us on Twitter. But like, get off Twitter. Be good to yourself.
Mastodon.
I already said Mastodon, didn't I? Hi,
cutie. No, I was just saying, like, get off Twitter and get on Mastodon.
Yeah.
It's where everybody went, in case you're wondering.
Yeah. Anyway, talk to y'all soon. Love you. Bye.